You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
It's time for us to do some calculating. And anytime we want to do that and it involves money, we call on Louise Story. She's the Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times.
She's the calculator.
That's right.
Calculator. Good morning.
Louise, TARP is now officially over, correct? It has expired?
Well, they've really wrapped up the program. They've gotten a lot of the money back, not all of it back, but they're winding it down, and the administration is really calling it a victory.
All right. The Troubled Asset Relief Program is what we can talk about. And since it's winding down, this is a good time to see whether or not TARP was a good deal. There's a few questions that go into that bit larger question. A, did it save the banks? Apparently the answer to that is yes, right, Louise?
The banks are alive. It saved a lot of banks.
And then the other question is, did the government get the best deal they could get? And that question is more complicated, right?
That's right. So the government has been out, the administration has been out saying they've gotten the money back. It was a good deal. But, you know, I started doing the numbers and wondering if it was the best deal they could have gotten. And, you know, one thing I looked at is AIG, which is the one we've been hearing about most recently because that's one of the last bailouts to wind up, the government got a 92% stake of AIG, which means that it owns almost all of the company. And I started wondering, you know, if the government had owned 92% of Goldman and Morgan Stanley and J.P. Morgan, you know, how much the taxpayer would have made. So I crunched the numbers, and if the government had owned 92% of the seven biggest banks, some of the seven biggest banks that got TARP, we would have made over $500 billion.
All right. So how much did we get back? Do we have a total yet in terms of what we got back in interest or dividends or what we got back when they paid back their bailouts?
So what I looked at were seven of the largest banks, Goldman, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, the ones that got it first. And on those, we made $11.3 billion. So again, that's $11.3 billion is nothing to sneeze at.
That's what we made in profit, right?
Above and beyond. Those seven were given $120 billion. They returned all that money, and we made an $11.3 billion profit. And, you know, on a typical rate of return, that's a pretty good return.
Right.
But, you know, I just wondered, in none of those banks did the government take common stock. And when you take common stock, that means when the banking system recovered, the government would have been able to sell that stock for a lot. It also means that the government would have sort of punished the shareholders of those banks by taking a bunch of the stock, diluting those shareholders, which some people would say is appropriate given how much trouble those banks got into for the shareholders to give up some of the stock. But they didn't do that.
Well, we're talking about the difference between $11 billion and half a trillion dollars if they had done what they did with AIG. But would the banks have agreed to the bailout if it had included that large of a stock
That's the issue. So, you know, I talked with the Treasury Department yesterday about it, and their reply was, look, the bailout was voluntary. We didn't force these banks to take it, and they said that they thought it was unrealistic that they would have agreed if they gave up 92% of the stock. But, you know, there was one bank that did give up a bunch of its stock. That one bank is Citigroup. That's the one big bank that did. But Citigroup was in more trouble than those other banks. And so the government ended up owning about a third of Citigroup, which has meant we've made a lot more money on Citi than we made on those other banks.
So what was their response? Was that their entire response, that they simply couldn't have gotten the banks to accept the government owning 92%?
They had a three-part response. The one was, you know, it was voluntary.
They couldn't have done it, right?
Banks wouldn't have done it. They also said that AIG was failing. They said, note the word failing. And they said that justified taking over 92% of this company for the taxpayer, whereas, you know, they don't say this, but by pointing out that AIG is failing, the implication is that some of the other banks weren't necessarily failing.
Yeah, we're not failing. And that's a little bit different from the storyline when TARP was passed and signed into law by President Bush, which was that the banks were in imminent danger, and that's why the TARP needed to be passed.
That's right. But, you know, it's so difficult because the banks have always debated this. You know, even months after they took the bailout money, you had companies like Goldman and J.P. Morgan saying, we never needed that. You know, we were just fine. We would have survived without it. But then you have others that say, wait a minute, the financial system was as a whole was going to collapse without the government and all the steps they took, including the bailout. So, you know, we don't really know whether those banks would have survived without it or not.
Well, clearly, in not just in AIG, but in terms of the auto company bailouts, they also took ownership stakes in the auto companies. How is that going to turn out for the government?
You're right. So, you know, the government owns 61% of General Motors, and that means when GM has its IPO that the government will benefit because they'll sell shares into the market and try to recoup their money. Again, you know, it's a different world for GM and AIG than it was for most of the banks because the GM shareholders really lost out. And but it means the taxpayer is, you know, if the selling in the public market goes well, the taxpayer gets to make money there.
Okay. So what do you think is the lesson that we should learn that? Or if you were going to be advising the Treasury Department, what's the lesson the next time, God forbid, we have to do a TARP?
You know, I would really wonder in the future about a so-called voluntary program because, you know, if they had really only had banks that wanted to take it, then they could make them give up more. They could say, okay, but you're giving up 50% of your stock or something. But because they say it's voluntary, it was voluntary, which, you know, I covered it back then, and I remember it not seeming so voluntary back then, but, you know, because they say it was voluntary, they didn't really take so much of these banks. And, you know, when even though the banks returned the money, you have to wonder what would have happened to them without it, what would have happened to them without so many of the sweeping things the Federal Reserve and the Treasury did.
Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, always doing the numbers for us.